It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning.
Shake your arm.
Kind of nice. Hope this weather gets past us here. I can see the sky for the first time in a while, Sam. It's August 18th. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all y'all up and coming.
Up and coming.
Up and coming.
Up 400.
Yeah. And a special... special little shout. I'm going to throw another little area in there, too. All you folks up in Paulding County, we're thinking of you this morning.
Yeah.
Thinking of you folks up there.
Yep.
And Chief Brandon and the Sheriff's Department and all y'all, I'm going to throw a little prayer up in your way.
Yep.
So there you go. On this morning, where you drive in and it's not official, tomorrow we'll make it official, but a full moon.
Yeah. That's something to see riding in this morning.
I mean.
That's pretty remarkable.
I'm going to do this twice during the show. I'm going to give you a little tip. When I was single. And even now, too. But when I was single, one of the things that, you know, because God helps you out every once in a while. But you got to know how to use it, right? And have you ever been on a vacation when the full moon appears? It kind of adds to it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But you don't know that it's coming. Well, many years ago, I discovered something that I had never seen before. And it's a moon calendar. Everybody knows about them now, but I didn't know about those then.
Not almanac?
No. This is, and different places sell them differently. There's different styles of them. Just one little thin sheet that has, you know, the every month on it, and then it shows you where the moon is that month.
Okay.
So if you can plan it, there is nothing better than taking a vacation when the moon is full. It just adds to it. So like I said, when you're single... and you're thinking about taking a vacation, and you know, the guys want to get out there and they want to meet the girls, you know, whatever. If you can plan it around a full moon, that's God's extra little oomph for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you see what I'm going with this?
So I got you.
Vacation. Now, family vacations, too. You want to take a cruise. Tracy tripped into this on one of our anniversary cruises where there was a full moon. The problem with that on a cruise is, while it's great, because of the directions that you go, like Monday night, you got the full moon, and you can see it right off your balcony, and you're looking out there. This is great. And Tuesday, you're heading a different direction. It's on the other side of the ship,
whoa.
So you don't see it. But, again, I was thinking about this. Moon calendars. There are a ton of locations that sell them, different styles of them. But if you get one, you keep it in the closet, and, you know, you or your family, you like taking vacations, a couple of vacations throughout the course of the year. If you can plan it when the full moon is happening, I'm just telling you.
Really?
It just adds a little something extra, right?
All right.
And then you just got to hope it doesn't rain so you can see the moon. But knowing that you're going to be taking a little vacation when the moon is full just adds a little something extra. You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah.
And there you have it, folks.
How was your Saturday?
It was okay. Pretty quiet. You know, sit around and was listening here. I hope people enjoy, first of all, Falcons football.
Right.
Yesterday, Falcons fall to the Ravens 13-12. But you saw some people give some good efforts out there. That's what the coaches are really watching for in their evaluation. That's the way this coaching regime is doing the preseason. We'll get into this a little more in the next segment. But, you know, everybody's doing it different way. You're seeing starting quarterbacks play in some games. We've decided not to do that here. Not even playing our backup quarterback. You know, so that's the decision that's being made in this new era of the preseason game. We will talk about that later on. And also the games that took place, high school football, the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Classic. Hope you enjoyed the games all week except for the one that got rained out that we didn't get to have on Friday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great start to the season.
Yeah, it was good to see Taylor Heineke. I had actually forgot about him. With all the commotion about the other quarterbacks, I kind of forgot about him.
Yep.
But him and Paddock, so it was good. We'll talk
Paddock
about that.
Paddock has a nice drive right there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you play till you go till you hit a whistle. You play to the end, and to the end this team was out there doing some good things to try to win it, and they gave themselves a chance.
So we got Joe Patrick joining us also to talk Falcons coming up at 8 o'clock. We got the mid part of this show is just jam-packed today. I mean, we got guests at
Green Room's crowded.
Yes, the green
room's crowded.
The green, we got.
What
we
are
got,
we serving in the green room?
I was
room?
Just going to ask you. Hopefully, we brought some
croissants. There's nothing in the green room, man. We got guests lined up like this. The green room's got to have some nice green tea or something for them to sip. I don't know.
John Grant, executive director of Celebration Bowl, but he's not here talking about Celebration Bowl today. He's here talking about the BX WAC Challenge, and he is pumped up.
Yep. He is excited.
He is pumped up about
it. He's got a game coming up in prime time on ABC.
Yeah.
That's for HBCU game. That's big.
When he eventually decides to exit stage left and hand the reins over to somebody else, they're going to have some work in front of them.
Yes, they will.
Because he has grown this thing like kudzu.
Yep. And has further made Atlanta the spot. Mm-hmm. When you think about big games for his HBCUs, he's done that here. In this city as well. So, yeah, you're right. When it changes hands, they got a big job going.
Yeah. And I mentioned Joe Patrick's going to join us. Also, Layla Brock. She's an executive with the Atlanta Dream. She'll be joining us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We got Olympians all around this city, and we finally got one to come and be on the show. Well, absolutely. Another one, I should say.
Well, yeah, because we've had some.
We've had a few on there.
Chris Bailey, who's a product of Carver High School here in Atlanta, won a gold medal in the 400 men's 4x400 relay. We're going to get a chance to spend some time with him. He's excited, and we look forward to talking to him at 9 o'clock.
And Dustin Long, some stuff going on in NASCAR.
Drama. Oh, my God. At the end of the race last week, and people getting their cars bumped into walls, and NASCAR was faced with the possibility, do they actually take a win away? Which would have been unprecedented, but, you just don't drive like that anymore. I mean, you used to see guys.
Excuse me, how did last season end? Chastain, what did he do?
Well, yeah, but okay. I mean, you don't just see people do that. Back in the day, you would see Earnhardt move people around the track.
You know what I mean? From Yarborough and them boys.
Right, but you kind of, unfortunately, through his passing, mm-hmm. Earnhardt's passing, they dialed it back a little bit,
A little bit, but the Busch boys are trying to keep it going.
We'll try to, but right. I mean, they're going out and running and doing what happened at the end of that race last week at the very end. That was something. And ironically, he's driving the number 3 car, right? He's driving, right?
Yikes.
So that was the thing this week. It was decided that you're going to, you're going to get to keep the win, but we're going to take you out of the playoffs. You're not automatically in the playoffs. And so that is being appealed.
Is it?
Yes. So like I said, Dustin's got the latest for us. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. There's drama before they drop the green flag and start racing up in Michigan today.
Speaking of having something taken away from you, did you know that Hank Aaron really should have 756 home runs?
I'm not surprised that he should.
Yeah, actually, he should probably have more than that.
He probably have more.
But
he had
one taken away on this date.
Okay.
Hank Aaron had a home run snatched from him on this date because he hit it when he had 1 foot out of the batter's box.
Wow.
And they took it from him. And then they wrote about it.
Oh.
So that's how I found out about this. Yeah. Hank had a home run taken away from him
on this date
because one of his feet were out of the batter's box. Now, that brings on a number of questions. If you aren't – I'm just trying to think of a sport. They do it in football too, because if you line up offsides, the ref ain't going to say nothing. He's going to wait till it snaps and then he's going to throw a flag.
Yeah.
So if you're standing outside the batter's box or foot out there, I guess it's not anybody else's job to help you. Maybe the dude on the on deck circle.
Well, you watch for it because how many times have you seen batters come up to the plate and almost kind of like kick that line around?
Now, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Almost kind of erase that so they can put a foot a little bit closer to that line over what the line would be. So, yeah, the home plate umpire has to really monitor that.
And I want to say this real quick, and then I'm going to move on because we got to get to our story of the week. I've been gone off and on the last few weeks, month or so, and Sam and I have been doing some different things. I mean, we're here, but we're going to talk about what's happened, what's going on. I'm going to bring you guys up on what's happened in my world, what's happened with Mr. Crenshaw. He had something really, really, really nice I'm going to make him talk about coming up here. So we're going to do that at 7:40. So a special little segment coming up at 7:40. Hopefully you will stick around and be a part of it. But for now, Noel, if you please.
It's time for Sam and Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
All right, Mr. Crenshaw. Thinking about you while I was gone these last couple weeks and watching things that have been going on. But this past week, There was an obvious story of the week. I don't know if you chose it. I'm not going to choose it because I had something else, and it had to do with the Olympics.
Go ahead.
So it's Jordan Chiles.
Yeah.
But not mine.
Okay.
So if that's yours, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Here's what mine is, and this is actually a story that's a non-story. It could have been two stories, but there are now two non-stories. But the fact that they were brought to light and the way they ended is why I'm saying that Jim Harbaugh is my story of the week. And he did something that, a phrase I like to use, I've used it on the air smells sweeter on the high road. And this is a dude who doesn't normally do that because he likes coming at you in a quirky kind of way, right?
Yep.
So the first thing he did was, after the NCAA got really, really petty about what he did or didn't do when he was at Michigan, and they suspended him four games, even though he's with the pros right now, just to do it. And then Michigan turned around and said, all right, fine, we're going to make him captain for our first game next week. And that went on for about a week or so, and everybody's getting all worked up into a lather. Harbaugh's going to show up, and he's going to flip the you-know-what to the NCAA. Well, he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to take away from the kids. I don't want to take away from the first game.
Yeah.
So he canceled that. That was one. Then, for the first part of last week, we all heard that coming to the staff of the Los Angeles Chargers was going to be one Colin Kaepernick. Did you hear this story?
No.
It went on for a couple days.
I mean, he made an appearance in Paris.
Well, the speculation was that Harbaugh was going to put him on the staff and bring him back. And, by the way, Justin Herbert's got this little hitch in his giddy up there, and if you still think you can play, I'm just the quirky coach that might give you an opportunity to show us what you can do in practice.
I hope not. Okay.
Well, no. I'm saying this was the conversation.
Yeah.
It lasted about 3 days, and then Harbaugh stepped in and went, no. He ain't coming on my staff. As much as he knows about football, I'm not bringing him on our staff. And the other speculation, and that's not happening. And it was never something that I thought about.
Yeah.
My point is that this dude had an opportunity to put himself on the front burner doing things that normally he's attributed to doing, going down a different sort of path. And he sort of eliminated both of them from conversation,
yeah,
which I thought was kind of cool.
Smart of him. Remember, the day he decided to take that Chargers job, he was supposed to come interview here.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? We had a quarterback situation that was in flux. That situation was pretty stable as far as a quarterback. And to me, that's the thing that drew him out to California,
yeah,
that he had the head of quarterback sitting there to work with. He's got to get down to business, work with his quarterback,
yeah,
and try to have a better season out there for that team and try to be the team that people notice more in Los Angeles. That's the tough part about that.
Good luck with that.
Because they're the team that's thrown in on the side.
Like the Angels.
Next to the Rams and Southern Cal. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So that's the job. My thing is just the ending of the Olympic Games, how last Sunday was remarkable, the closing ceremony, and Tom Cruise did
make his... like that, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I thought the whole thing, the way it was all produced, laid out, all the way to the concerts out on the beach out in L.A., I thought that was really, and now let's see how LA does leading up in the next 4 years. But I thought just the way the games ended was outstanding.
How? Who? Other than the athletes, who did you enjoy the most? Other than the athletes, who NBC brought to be a part of it?
Obviously, Snoop. And the thing is, where do we see him next? They have a Saturday night primetime game, college football. To me, college football. I mean, rather than put him on Sunday night. To me, if he's got time, bring him on Saturday night for that game. You know, it's Big Ten, which Southern Cal is a team he has supported for a long time, mm-hmm, is now part of Big Ten.
Okay.
So why not have, and you know, not in the booth, but let him be a part of your pregame and then turn him loose in the stands. You know, I think that would be like fantastic.
If he would want to be turned loose in the stands.
Yeah, he would. Why wouldn't he?
Oh, no, I don't know. I mean, people going, folks might want to get next to Snoop in a certain kind of way.
I think that would be, I mean, you're going to have somebody.
18 bodyguards around him, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, right now.
And here's the other thing, too. After you leave Snoop's dressing room, you don't want to do too much walking. You know what I mean? You just don't. You want to sit someplace for a while.
But the thing of it is, he's now invested in college football. The Arizona Bowl will bear his name and will be sponsored by the Gin and Juice.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, come on. Have him on. To me, I think it'll be a great thing for NBC to do with. Let's see where he shows up next.
All right. Well, somebody make a call and make this happen. Up next, Falcons, Baltimore. What were your takeaways from yesterday's matchup? We're going to talk about it next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Halfway across Alabama. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 18th day of August. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend morning. Saturday's going to get a little shaky moving forward here. College football's getting ready to take over again. But we will be with you on Sunday mornings, 6 until 10 moving forward. As I sit here and listen to this, two things pop into my mind. Men in Black, that was a song that came on there when Tommy Lee Jones got into his Ford, as Will Smith said, POS, and they drove to the wherever that their first little case was, but they put in Elvis and had a conversation about that. But also, we are going to hear Hound Dog at some point because that song reached number one on this date.
Did it?
Big Mama Thornton got some actually, she probably didn't. The record company did.
Yeah.
But Elvis's Hound Dog and Don't Be Cruel, back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, hung out there probably till the Beatles landed. Also on this date, Houston Oiler, Hall of Famer. Probably the one or two all-time NFL running backs that you choose if you got to get 1 yard to save your family. You know, Jim Brown. Who else would you think of? Jim Brown, you got to get 1 yard. Listen, I'm going to say Beast Mode. I may choose him. I may choose.
Even though they didn't choose him in the big game.
No, they didn't. That's why I'm choosing him. But Earl Campbell.
Yeah. The Tyler Rose.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about the nickname.
Yeah, man.
Earl Campbell retired on this date. So I want to give him a little mention there too. Man, that video of him just running through everybody and they ripping his jersey off his back.
Oh, yeah.
Just ripping his jersey. Oh, man. And a dude named Aaron, I never knew his first name. Started his catalog business, Aaron Montgomery Ward.
Whoa.
Issued his first catalog on this date.
Wow.
Insignificant information just continues. Been gone, Robbie. I got a lot of this stuff to say.
You
got to
catch up.
I got to catch up, man. I messed up yesterday. I couldn't even get to what you call it. Yesterday was Davy Crockett's birthday. You just think about him and think of a song. But, yeah, he was a real dude.
Had to have a birthday.
Yeah. All right, man. My takeaway from yesterday, I don't know where you're going to start with this, but the Pro Bowl kicker had a little hitch in his giddy-up.
Yeah.
We could dissect the offense and the defense, but special teams, and that will rear its ugly head if not somewhat consistent. But Koo had a bad day yesterday. He was wide left three different times.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like they were going in the same area. So, is it the holder? Has he got a new holder? I don't know. Is there a new holder for him this season?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, usually he's been cash money. Exactly. I mean, he's been so reliable for this team, and when drives, you know, fall short, you know we can get at least 3 points. We're hoping this year that changes and we start to get the six.
Exactly.
But that's been his role with this team the last couple of seasons because the offense couldn't get across the finish line. They couldn't get into the end zone. And he always comes on, and you know you're going to get three if you don't get anything at all. But this year, we're hoping this offense is going to get us more, you know, into the end zone more. We certainly believe that's going to be the case. But, that's out of the game yesterday. It's probably the one thing that probably concerns you more than anything else. I don't know how much it really – because it's a preseason game, but that's one thing you take away from it that you probably feel a certain way about. You mentioned Taylor Heinicke earlier and how you didn't even forget all about the guy, and he comes out there and shows that he can run the offense. And you know what? I really have to give it to the guys up front, the linemen who were there, your twos and your threes, the guys who are trying to secure a place on this roster to back up those starters for giving the Falcons a bit of a run game too.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. So, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, what they rushed for 151 yards. And so that's big, you know, in a preseason contest where your play calling is kind of basic.
Right.
You know, you just want to see how well people go out and execute and kind of vanilla, if you will, for lack of a different name for what they do. But still, they went out there and did their best at that. Scoreboard, I mean, you know, and how much does the scoreboard matter in these games?
No, that doesn't really. You got to look at you look at who was playing and you see if there's somebody who you can definitively say earned a roster spot. I mean, we don't know speculation as far as who coaching staff is going to keep defensively and offensively. And you've been hearing some of the comments that we've gotten from training camp. But I'll tell you what, yesterday, Natron Brooks. Yeah. It ain't even – just keep him. Was it number 35?
He had a big game.
He's going to be here.
Yep.
No matter what he does next week, as long as he doesn't lose the game, he showed enough yesterday to where he ain't got to worry about having a roster spot.
He was doing what you wanted to see him do. J.D. Bertrand was another one that we watched, a linebacker that was drafted this year. And a local product, you know, out of Notre Dame, but out of Blessed Trinity here in town. And, you know, they gave him a lot of nicknames when they drafted him, you know, Captain America. They very popular with the coaching staff in the front office. And he's come in and showing you why. You know, he got a chance to do a lot of playing yesterday, and he was showing it out there on the field. So that was great for the defensive side, especially considering the additions that were made to the defense this week.
Right.
And Matthew Judon was there yesterday. Of course, he played for a time in Baltimore. So he was there on the sideline with his, you know, with his new teammates and greeting some people and, you know, saw some people from the Ravens come over and greet him after the game, you know. So that was pretty cool to see him, you know, quickly joining the team, quickly getting acclimated to the players. Obviously, there's going to be the transition to the field and time. You know, he missed him as far as camp with the team and getting involved with the schemes. They feel like he'll be able to make that up and join the team and be ready. I mean, you still got a couple of weeks, 3 weeks before you play your first game still.
Right.
And so you have time.
All right. Well, let's hear from Coach Morris after the game.
You know, you're looking at how people react. You're looking individually. You're looking at people going out there and executing some of the stuff that you've seen get done throughout the summer. You're watching guys tackle because it's one time you can evaluate those guys. You're watching guys break tackles. And we had a little bit of both on both sides, and those things are exciting.
All right. This is all sort of a wait and see. But there's a different feeling. I don't know about you. But I have a different feeling at the beginning of this regime versus when Arthur Smith came here. I just a
different expectation.
Well, just a different feeling. I don't know that expectation is there yet because I didn't know what to expect from him, and I did. We had also a bigger change. We were still sort of Matt Ryan-ish, you know, and you just you had to get rid of that before you could make any sort of definitive change moving forward what this offense was going to look like. But like I said, now there's like a whole different feeling. You know, you don't have to worry about Desmond Ridder. You don't have to worry what he's going to become. You just, taking a phrase from the generation before us, you grab the Etch-A-Sketch, you shake it, and you start over again.
right. You know what I mean? And you do that. But you know, you're not completely starting all over again. I mean, you do have some weapons on the offensive side that you know there. And they've given you, a little bit of a taste of what could possibly be if you stabilize the quarterback position. And I think that's the whole thing. You've got a 1,000-yard running back a season ago. You got a running back that's coming in that you feel is going to be in line with the future of that role in the National Football League. You got receiver out there. You got a tight end that looked like you're going to make him more of a hybrid type of player and a receiver on a target this season. And you just needed the right person to make that go. And that's what we feel like we did during the offseason for this team. And a line, you know, that we feel like we want to see them execute a little better for pass blocking, but a line that we know can go downhill as far as run blocking.
Right.
And so we're very confident about that.
Also, I think that what you have at the quarterback position is a different dynamic. I think you have hunger, the word that describes what's going on as far as that position. Kirk Cousins wants to show that he's worthy of the contract. He's come back from the injuries, and he's going to school, you know, Michael Penix Jr. as far as preparing him for when he comes in there. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is different than Desmond Ridder when he got to this team coming out of college. Just different expectations, a different type of style. And I really didn't know what to think as far as Desmond Ridder coming into this, as far as how he competed that last year. Cincinnati made it, right? They got to the playoffs.
Yep.
How? We can go back and discuss that. But the dude played on the big stage. I never really felt confident in my description of how he played and that was going to translate into the next level. I just never felt comfortable with that. It's like, all right, let's wait and see what's going on. And you also wondered if he had the right coaching staff around him, which is the case in a number of situations, right?
Right.
So-and-so didn't grow because he had this coach or that coach. But let me change gears here for a second. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. One of the things that we had some fun with before we came on the air is, hey, did you see that pass that Patrick Mahomes made behind his back? And you had your comment about, which basically was, you know, listen, you don't need to be playing that dude. right now during.
It's fun until it's not funny.
Yeah, that's what you said. And so then my question is, who do we see next week? Who do we see with Falcons versus Jacksonville? How much do you want to see, if any, of those number one guys?
Normally, this would be, I guess, the game that you would see, you know, the players. You know, in when we had four games, the third game would be the game where you would see everybody. Fourth game, people in T-shirts and baseball caps. But you know, now that we don't have those four games, maybe you think this game would be the game that you would see people in. Really, I don't think so. I mean,
we don't know yet. That's the thing. It's all uncharted territory.
Well, there's no one formula for doing the preseason anymore.
Right.
You know, that's been thrown out the window. We've seen starters. We saw Patrick Mahomes yesterday. We've seen, you know, there's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields playing. You're seeing Caleb Williams out there playing for Chicago. And people are putting the folks out there to play. And then you got folks like us who are saying, you know what, maybe not. And so it's not a proven way of doing it, and I think we're just seeing the preseason evolve, especially as we get ready to go to 18 regular season games.
Moreover, that's well and fine, but everything that you just described as a reason why we don't know who we're going to see, and then the other component is the layoff between that last preseason game and the start of the season. You know, that's a longer break. It's almost like having a bye in the regular season, and these guys got to get some game action. We talked about, and I've heard other people say this, I don't know if you subscribe to this theory, but the guys who hold out, the ones who don't play or participate as much in preseason, those are the ones, especially skill position players, they're the ones who have them soft, what do they call them, those injuries, those little nagging injuries early on.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the soft tissue, thank you. Injuries, and they keep you out. They nag at you for the first quarter of the season. So you hope that isn't the case. But we're going to talk more Falcons. Joe Patrick is going to join us coming up later on in the hour. Talking Braves out there with their old coach, Rod Washington, and boy, them bats woke up last night early. We're going to talk about them up next. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. That is an apropos song to send out to all y'all with thinking about you in Paulding County this morning. You mentioned this earlier, little Aretha. This song reminds me of Sunday morning, though. It reminds me of, like, stuff that I would, song, music I would hear in the background on Sunday morning after we had breakfast and were told to get ready for church.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister would have her door open, playing her little 45s. And my mother had the radio on, and there was a show in Chicago growing up called Jubilee Showcase.
Okay.
And during the week, it was, and Saturdays they would play Ramsey Lewis.
Okay.
But Jubilee Showcase had stuff like this on, and then they would have different choirs from different churches around the Chicago area. They'd play feature. And this song just reminds me, takes me back to that time. So. And we're going to do a little reminiscing coming up at 7:40, so you want to stick around for that. Sam and Greg, again, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Noel on the other side of the glass. We're going to venture into Noel's world coming up later on. And I also want to thank her for securing the executive that we're going to speak to this morning from the Atlanta Dream, Layla Brock. She's going to be joining us at 8:20.
And we got the Dream on here today, right?
Yes, we do. You threw a curveball at me. I got to reach forward and grab the piece of paper that tells me that we have got WNBA action going on. In case you can't get in front of a TV, we got Dream versus Connecticut tip-off at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go get them.
There you go. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, as we talk about the Braves, as I sit out there in Los Angeles taking on the Angels, I know I sound like a broken record, but I just think this team, even though they got the win yesterday, and Chris Sale looked like he's going to have the hardware coming right down I-75 for him as far as Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
But they miss Ron Washington. I don't care what anybody says. They miss Ron Washington. Yeah, they miss AY too, but they miss Ron Washington.
They committed an error in the game last night.
Thank you.
But you know what else happened last night? Big dude delivered.
Yeah, he did.
Marcelo Zuna hits this ball deep to center field, and it is gone, and it is long gone. A big, big fly from the Big Bear. It is 3-0, three batters in.
Number 36 on the season.
Two things.
Yeah.
One is, when he hit it, he knew it, but it was one of those that went dead center. It was one of them Herman Munster home runs. And it went over the trees in center field, and it hit the fairway.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say is, and forgive me, I don't know, I can't remember his name, part of the broadcast team, but last night, for whatever reason, he really, really, not the main announcer, the other guy, oh, geez. I thought Joe Simpson was up there.
Oh.
He sounds just like Joe Simpson. Okay. And I thought it was him.
Okay.
I can't remember his name, forgive me, but and does a great job with the broadcast, but he just makes you think of Joe Simpson, if you've been following his team for a while.
Thanks to Bally's for that call, by the way.
Thank you, Bally's.
Thank you. What do you think about the top of the batting order and what that makes? You know, he's back this week, you know, first game back, the Grand Slam.
Yep.
He's put back up at the top of the batting order, and, you know, last night, 3-for-5, of course, we're talking about Michael Harris.
I like it as long as it works. And we don't know how long it'll work, but right now, again, this is the one thing I've been talking about throughout the season when it comes to this Braves team, and I've been giving credit to Brian Snitker. He has had the ability to move pieces around, and he's had the ability when everybody's healthy to do that and has no problem doing it. Now it's because of attrition. He's got to make some changes. He's got to put some people in situations that they're not normally familiar with, but yet he's giving them a chance to excel, and that's what we're seeing. But we have also seen a bit of a hiccup. While I was gone, these guys went through a losing streak between Miami and Milwaukee, got out to Colorado, lost that first one, but then that's one of those teams that you want to get well on, especially out there.
Right.
Because, you know, you just kind of bunt the ball, and sometimes it'll travel over the fence. But the ebbs and flows of this month have worried me. Regardless of what I see for this road trip, let them get home, let them get healthy, and
I'm very encouraged by what we saw before this series. They took 3 out of 4 from San Francisco, and that's a team that they're battling for the playoff or for the wild card. And I thought that was very encouraging to go out there and take 3 out of 4 from those guys. So, you know, yeah, they head for home after this, and they got Philadelphia coming up. But to me, those 4 games in San Francisco were big. You're going to be facing other teams that you're fighting for the wild card. You want to see them stand up and deliver. You want to see them deliver the rest of the way. We got around, 39 games, I think, remaining. And so you're at that part of the season where you want to see this team show you a little something about what they could possibly look like, you know, come October. And you want to start seeing that. One of the things was getting Harris back in the lineup.
Getting Harris back. You know, Sean Murphy is also back. Let's not sleep on that. And because of that, we got Travis d'Arnaud going day to day. You want to have both of those guys ready. And ready and sharp mid to late September. All right, if there's going to be any kind of run made, if there's any kind of conversation about wild card and making that playoff.
Yeah, well, d'Arnaud left the game now. D'Arnaud left the game last day.
Day to day.
He got hit in his wrist in the 7th inning, and so Sean Murphy, thankfully, is healthy. This team is set and designed to work at its best when both are healthy and be able to play their roles. And you know defensively what you're getting with Sean Murphy, which is really big. Charlie Morton is going to get the call. He's going to get the start, you know, in this game today. And let's see if they can get another win, one more over this Angels team that has just struggled all season long, and see if they can get a win before they head for home.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. How much do you really try? I'm asking you, if you were Brian Snitker, how much do you really try and solidify what this team, what you hope is the team that's going to take you into the playoffs right now before you take on Philadelphia? My point for saying that is there's a lot of teams, you know, they don't show you everything going into, especially a football season. But right now, as you get ready to try and position yourself, because you got to climb over these dudes, and you're sitting there, what, 8 games back?
Well, you don't have to climb over them.
You don't have – well, you vet. No, you don't have to.
You
but
just
got to
be ready to beat them when you see them.
Yes, right. And you want to make them feel like they're going to have – you know, a street fight when they take you on.
So you got a chance to see him. You're going to see him here, you know, starting Tuesday, and then you're going to go up to their place in a week. You're going to see him up in Philadelphia. You're going to see him here for 3. You're going to see him there for 4. You know, you get an idea of you know, and you want to put a little something in the back of their minds because you will not see them again until October. Hopefully you have that meeting with them in October. So it makes these games a big deal. Remember, they got a – well – you have the game with Cincinnati coming up. They got to make up a game for the, they got to make up. Game.
They got to make that thing up here. But I'm gonna tell you one that's right around the corner that got me reason to pause. And I just think a lot of people sleeping on this team, and they're Minnesota. They got to go up to Minnesota. Now you can say what you will about where these guys sit right now, but Minnesota, the Twins. I want to make sure I get this dialed up properly, because they had a command for a while on that Central. They're two back right now of Cleveland, but Minnesota is one of those.
What a White Sox! What a White Sox!
Man,
what a White Sox!
Where's Kennesaw? Where's Kennesaw State's baseball team at? I take them before I take these White Sox right now.
Oh man!
My friend, the drummer who came down for the service, when he went back to Chicago, sat next to Frank Thomas.
Really?
And he could not be a bigger White Sox fan. Hates Cubs. Hates Cub fans. And that's what Sox fans are like. It's like Yankees and Mets fans. But he's a big, big White Sox fan. And he got.
You look at the standings. They already have an E.
Oh, no, they're done.
They already got an E beside them.
Yeah, yeah.
No other team in baseball has the E beside them but the White Sox.
There's teams that every year there's that team, you know. And listen, this is the team you can look at. At least they have won a World Series in a reasonable amount in the 2000s.
Oof.
Okay?
Yikes.
There's not a lot of teams that can say that.
Ooh.
But they suck.
you only
go to the south side of Chicago for the food. You're going there for the
bratwurst. About the Twins. The Twins are two games back of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland's been steady Eddie. I mean,
they got over them. But Minnesota was the truth earlier on in the season.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's one of those teams that as the Braves make this little mini road trip, they're going up there for three or four, and then they go to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all year, what have I been doing? Wait and see, wait and see. Okay, now we're past the All-Star break. And you asked me, when are you going to start worrying about this team? Okay, well, I'm at that point now.
Well, yeah.
I'm at that point.
It is that time. It is that time. And, you know, you want to see, it's time to see this team respond. And not so much worried about the division. If we don't get the division, we don't get the division. But you want to get yourself going in the right direction when you hit the wild card. Look at what the Phillies have done the last 2 years. They didn't win the division.
No.
You know, so, I mean, we've done that. You just want to get people healthy and be rolling with some momentum going into the end of this month. And, oh, by the way, you got those four games with the Dodgers coming up there next month, which, you know, I mean, we played them. It's been so long ago since the Braves played them. I can't believe they put the games here so early in the schedule and put this in September. It's odd. And I think they're actually here on a big football weekend. You know, so but the Dodgers would be here September 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. That is Friday through Monday that they will be in town.
Well, either way, I just don't know. Listen, here's the other thing, too. We're talking about the everyday players, but other than Chris Sale, who do you feel confident going on there and winning you a game right now? You used to be able to say that. You could pick a couple different guys. And by the way, when we started this season, Chris Sale wasn't one of those names that you mentioned off the top.
You didn't think it was. You figured that he wasn't going to be one of those people. And as it shows, as it turns out, you know, he is one of those people. You know, he has very much been that.
I wonder about what's going on just with the wild card too. And they're both of them are out there in the West too, because you got the Padres and you got the Diamondbacks that the Braves are looking up to.
Mm-hmm.
So. Let's wait and see what happens. But these guys going at it today. Hopefully they can get with Los Angeles and get back here. You keep saying Anaheim. I'm just going to say L.A. because otherwise I'll keep calling them Anaheim Angels.
Well, that's where they are.
It's L.A. Angels. Yeah, they changed the name.
Orange County.
They didn't call them Orange County Angels. It's the L.A. Angels.
Well, that's where they are. You know, they're Mickey Mouse right down the street.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see the fly-through? They had the Intuit Dome opened or was supposed to open. Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga. This is where the Clippers are going to play.
And also where they're going to have basketball for the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did you hear what happened?
No, what happened?
Bruno had to pull a Lauryn Hill.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's
for
doing 8 that.
O'clock start, they didn't get go until about 10:30.
Okay. So, did they make him stop at 11 o'clock?
I don't know, Steve. I don't know.
That's the thing. That's going to be like Chastain Park.
So... Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As I stay out there and I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
Are there any Clippers worthy of a statue or a number being retired? Something like that. I mean, he's got to have some kind of team bells and whistles around this brand new stadium. So, who probably
that didn't play in L.A. and that would be Bill Walton.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go. That's yep. one. At least they got one.
Yeah,
we hit the reach for that.
There we go.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up, we're moving into the 7 o'clock hour. John Grant. Looking forward to talking to Mr. Grant. I ain't talk to him in a minute.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the Celebration Bowl, but he is here for the MEAC-SWAC Challenge. This year, something different?
Yeah, well, this is Norfolk State, a team that hadn't been in this game before. I don't remember the last time they've been in Atlanta. But then, of course, Florida A&M is going to be here, and people want to go see the team that won the Celebration Bowl last year and everything that comes with them, all the halftime, you know, and everything that goes along with that. So he'll be happy to talk about that with us and what's new. I know we're going to do a pregame concert at the College Football Hall of Fame that day with Big Boy.
Mm-hmm.
All that's coming up next Saturday. It's supposed to be week zero, but we all in college football's happening here, and Georgia Tech's going to be over in Ireland. College football happens next weekend.
There you go. And we're going to spend 7:40 talking about, well, us. I've been gone the last few weeks, and before that, had to step out for a little bit. And Sam has had some things happen to him, very nice things. But we haven't talked about that, so we're going to spend that segment kind of bringing our audience up on what's been going on with us. And but up next, as always, going to let you know what's going on locally. Also, dip our toe into what to think about some of these, how the transfer portal is affecting some of these magazines that come out early on before the season. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.